Welcome to Anahata Yoga's podcast. My name is Silje Sridharana, and I am passionate about making yoga practical and available in our daily life. Today, I have the honor of talking with my teacher, Swami Karma Karuna. And we had a talk earlier about the chakras and the witness awareness. It was more of an introduction or an overview, and that's in episode number 43. If you've not heard that, I recommend you listen to that before listening to this one. Now we will go more in detail on the specific chakras. So take a few deep breaths. So, Swami Karma Karuna, welcome back to the Anahata podcast.
Thank you, Sridharana. Such a pleasure to be here, finally.
Yeah, we made it. So, before we go in more depth of the chakras, following up from our last talk on the overview, just a couple of quick questions that has maybe perhaps nothing to do with the chakras. And what is your morning ritual or morning routine? You have something you do every day.
Yes, well, my mantra is very important, my personal mantra. And although I'd like to say that I'm very regular with something because I actually travel and move around so much, my practice actually changes depending on where I am. So my mantra is the steady part of my practice. And I aim to do a bit of salute to the sun, a little bit of breathing, and a bit of meditation regularly. And then yoga nidra, which particularly when I travel, actually the yoga nidra becomes really helpful to keep the balance and help me move through time zones and so on and so forth. And I would say for me, the focus that I've always had throughout my like 30 years now is really about bringing yoga off the mat and into my daily life. So it is important to do those little rituals and those little practices each day, because it reminds us how to bring it into our daily life or how to apply it when we're challenged. But for me, the thing that has been the most consistent of everything is this idea of developing, which we did speak about last time, developing the witnessing awareness, so that I am actually doing yoga or aiming to do yoga as much as possible throughout the day, and using my breath as an anchor, using my mantra as an anchor, and using, even in the middle of the day, I'll even do a posture or lay down on the floor for 5 minutes and do some breathing. So I really like this idea of having not just one ritual, but like little points in my day where I have a Swami Mukti Bodh calls it yoga snacks, and Swami Naranjan calls it like a yoga capsule. Yeah, exactly. And so for me, I actually focus a lot on that. I would like to say that I do a really long daily practice, but actually that's not truthful. That's not expressing satya. So it's about for me integrating it into my day-to-day life and showing up as with as much presence as I can.
Well, I appreciate your honesty and sharing, because I think this is so important. And, you know, that's really our most people's lives are filled up with daily chores and
absolutely.
Yeah, bringing the yoga into that it's great.
Yeah. And I do encourage and I do aim to have, you know, some practice each day in the morning, because it does set us up. It puts our nervous system in a good place and allows us to bring that presence and spread that presence into our day. But I also feel like we have to be realistic. And so for me, that's been my approach to yoga, is a really realistic approach.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you want to share what book you're reading at the moment?
Oh, I've got a pile of them here. I've got three of them next to me. So I'm actually building a meditation teacher's training at the moment. So I've got The Science of Meditation, How to Change Your Brain, Mind, and Body, which is really fantastic, by Daniel Goleman and Richard Davidson. I have Mudra Vigyan, The Philosophy of and Practice of Yoga Gestures, by Swami Satyananda and Swami Naranjananda. And then I have Meditations from the Tantra, Swami Satyananda. So because I'm at the moment focusing on building this training, I've been, exploring again these different practices, and also really interested in the science behind meditation, which is why I've got this book with Daniel Goleman and Richard Davidson. Yeah. So three of them, and they're sitting right on my desk. I actually have Who Moved My Cheese as well here, which I haven't read yet, but want to. And that's about how to deal with change in your work and in your life. And it was given to me because we're transforming the way we run our retreat center at the moment to meet the new challenges of the world. And so one of the trust board members gave me that book to read as well.
What was the name of that? Sorry.
Called Who Moved My Cheese. And it's just a really short little book, which I actually have read in the past, but I need to reread it. And it's about, and I'm like, when things change in your life, when there's change, which actually all of us are dealing with, how to deal with that in your work and in your life. And it's just a little story which gives you inspirational teachings on how to do that.
Great.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, let's get more into the chakras and the details about the chakras. So
yes.
We talked about that we want to touch upon the major centers, and we'll divide it into two episodes. So we'll get started. Yeah, with maybe... Agya chakra, or
yes, yeah, well, yeah, in our system of yoga, which other people who may be coming from other systems or have come across the chakras in different ways may not necessarily think about starting with Agya chakra, but Agya chakra, which is the located by moving to the eyebrow center, and then the trigger point is right at the eyebrow, in between the two eyebrows, but you go behind that into the center of the brain. That's your wisdom center, your witness awareness, the part of ourselves which allows us to have perspective and connect to the more subtle realms. And so in our system of yoga, which I follow the Bihar school of yoga lineage, we always begin with Agya chakra because it gives us the ability to see clearly when we go into the other chakras. And we can roughly think about the chakras divided into the unconscious, subconscious, and conscious layers of experience. So Agya chakra is about that consciousness, about presence, about ability to see clearly. And it's also called the Guru Chakra, because this is how we connect both to that inner wisdom, as well as if we have an external guru or teacher, the guru communicates through this chakra, through this subtle realm of intuitive awareness. And so we start with that, because when we have that perspective, it allows us to be able to not get so stuck in the unconscious realm. So Mula Dharan Swadhisthan, which also I'd like to talk about tonight a little bit. Mula Dhar is your base chakra. And Swadhisthana is your sacral or second chakra. Muladhara, you're finding that location at the perineum in men and at the back of the cervix, posterior point as you move into the womb in woman. That's the actual point. And then at the tailbone, the tip of the tailbone, is where we find the Swadhisthana chakra. And we can also find the trigger point of Swadhisthana, the sacral chakra, at the front, at the pubis bone. And so these two chakras, Muladhara and Swadhisthana, represent the unconscious realm. They represent the layers of experience that actually they're driving our experience in life. They're driving our decisions, what we're attracted to, what we like, what we dislike, our fears, our attachments, our pleasure. So these two chakras, from that point of view, they're driving so much of our day-to-day experience, but we're not aware of those driving forces. And if we can first activate Agya chakra, this wisdom center, the ability to see more clearly, the chakra of the mind, it gives us the ability to not get stuck or dragged down quite as much by the basic instinctual drives and by the pleasure drives. So as long as we're in a body, then we have these drives, and Muladhara represents those unconscious drives, the part of ourself which is, for example, we react to a threat to save our lives. So fear is one of the driving forces. Also sex, but from the point of view of propagating the species, whereas at Swadhisthana, there's that also drive for sex, but it's more about pleasure. And same Muladhara, we've got this survival instinct for food. So we will survive as a species that we can keep this body alive. And from the point of view of Swadhisthana, also food is important, but it's more about pleasure and taste, the expression of enjoyment. And so there's a real relationship between Muladhara and Swadhisthana. And if we actually, so I've talked about fear, I've talked about food and sex. And what was the third one, or a fourth one, is sleep. And of course, that's a basic human need as well, that we can only stay awake for so long before the body will just take us into a sleep state. And again, from the point of view of yoga, our aim is to become conscious. Our aim is to move out from the unconscious drives and gradually evolve ourselves so that we have that mindfulness, that presence, that ability to really make conscious choices. I was actually listening last night to Bruce Lipton, who's a scientist, and he speaks about how 5% of our experience is conscious, so driven from that frontal brain or the prefrontal cortex, where we actually make decisions and we have conscious kind of wishes, and we're calling the shots, you could say. And 95% of our experience in day-to-day life is being driven by a program that's usually set by the age of 7. So it's like a computer program that's running the show. And of course, there is ability. We know that there's ability to change the brain. We know that there's ability to change the unconscious program. But it's at such a deep level that it's so hard to see. And so this is where the power of activating Agya Chakra, and Agya Chakra translates like the command center, the third eye, the guru chakra. And so that tells us that, if we can activate that area, we can command other aspects of our unconscious experience, so to speak. We can use whatever is occurring, because the reality is when we're in this body, we will have desires, we will have fears that arise, we will have experiences where we maybe, are either sleeping in our day-to-day life, or we're asleep in our bed, And so when we can work with the practices of Agya, we can activate that, it gives us more ability to make those choices, to notice when we are driven towards an attachment, when we're getting caught up in a pleasure, when we feel a reaction that is the nervous system is generating that reaction because it perceives a threat. But when we have presence and consciousness driven by Agya purification and awakening, then we can actually say, ah, okay. And the classic example is the snake, you know, so you're walking down the path and you think that there's a snake in the path and we jump back, ah, snake, run the other way. But when you look closer, it's not really a snake. It's a curved piece of wood that looks like a snake, right? So the unconscious reaction is fear, run, survive. And that's what Muladhara particularly is representing that. And Swadhisthana is more about being driven for pleasure and joy, to aiming for joy. But unfortunately, we reach for that pleasure outside of ourselves. And at the end of the day, we have to, it's not that we can't have anything. We can have a car, we can have a house, we can enjoy beautiful food, we can enjoy beautiful connections with people. But it's about finding that joy at an inner level. And being secure enough in ourselves and being grounded and creative within that inner connection to ourselves, that we feel the joy without the external. So if the external is there, wonderful, we can use it, we can, you know, experience it, express it, but we're not dependent on it. And, you know, that's the difference, I suppose, between a blocked type of Swadhisthana or Muladhara, and ones that are being purified and operating more at an optimal level that support us. So awakening Agya chakra, or purifying that first, really helps us to be able to go into that unconscious layer and let go of some of the blocks and remove what we call the samskaras, the patterning that we've gotten from childhood, from our societies, from our cultures, from our experiences, the traumas we might have had that in some way shape and form the way we perceive our lives. Yeah. So are you with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I'm just reflecting on how this applies to some of the difficulties we see in the world today, you know, with eating disorders or always wanting more stuff. How that is in many ways related to what you said, an imbalanced root center and Swadhisthana chakra.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can really see that the advertising and the input that we have coming at us, it's all about aiming to get us to buy that, to want that, to, you know, to be secure. When we have that nice car, then we're going to be liked. When we have that nice, you know, our hair is shiny because we use the right shampoo, then we're going to be beautiful and people are going to like us, as compared to really tuning in to that inner level and knowing that at the level of Muladhara, fear has its place. It keeps us alive. So, of course, if you're going to step in front of a bus, you need to have that fear that will make you step back so you don't risk your life. But that same kind of fear, if we don't use it in the right way, or if the nervous system is overactivated because there has been a trauma at a childhood when you're a child, or even later in life, and then that fear is being activated all the time when it's unnecessary, when there isn't a bus, or when you're not running from the lion, when we have fear because we're worried about our bank balance going down a little bit, or we're worried about our boss who, you know, maybe said something to us that makes us feel insecure. So it's about learning, again, this is where the consciousness of Agya comes in, because you can actually, we talked about the witness quite a lot in the last session, and in a way Agya really represents that as we witness that, we can notice, my boss is not, I don't need to run from my boss, it's not truly a lion, I don't need to, you know, have fear of this, of you know, something like, you know, something that we perceive in a way, because it's not a life-threatening situation. And as we have more wisdom and more purification and awakening at Agya, it gives us that ability to see it. So it doesn't mean that we don't feel fear. It doesn't mean that we don't see that we could have, you know, different issues that may, you know, something like an eating disorder could have been something that from our society we got certain messaging at a very young age, and that then expresses as an eating disorder. But as we raise our awareness and our witnessing, it gives us perspective and ability to then use the right tools and get the right support so that we could move beyond that. And also same, it's, you know, so much of our society pushes us towards desiring things and not feeling good enough or being good enough without getting those things. But if we can use our witnessing, we can notice, okay, I have a desire for that, but do I need it? You know, I have a desire for that, but is it really going to make me happy and balanced? And so we start to have a different perspective, and we then begin to shift our lives in such a way where I think we do find more inner balance and joy.
So if someone listening now is eager to work on their Agya chakra, what are your best tips?
So many, so many tips, but just add a few of them. And of course, if you really want to experience them, then please join us when we do finally have a retreat in Norway. So some of the tips, for example, Tratak helps to really focus the mind, any type of balancing practices. So balancing both like Nadi Shodhan, the balancing breath, or actually standing balancing practices can be good to support Agya, because they steady the mind. And when the mind is more steady, then we have more ability to, again, see clearly and not get lost in the kind of things that we've been speaking about, in the fears or the traumas or the desires or these things. So, and I think really the most important is practicing something like antramona or mindfulness types of techniques, where really we're aiming to be the witness, to step back, as we spoke about in that last session, to step back and be the observer, so that we're standing on the platform of the train station rather than jumping on that thought train or that thought train or that thought train. So I think practicing witnessing is really one of the very important keys that we could use wherever we go, whatever we do. You know, some of these practices, you can't always stand on one leg. Although I do it sometimes, even in a supermarket or in an airport. But, you know, it's not always appropriate, but something like the witnessing, wherever you go, whatever you do, you can practice that. So those are a few things I think are important, and developing what we call Vivek and Vairagya. I actually work for Swadhisthan and Muladhara as well, but also are an aspect of, a purified and transformed Agya. So Vivek is like the ability to know the difference between truth and non-truth, or you know, right and wrong, not in a moral sense, but more in a, I suppose, spiritual sense. And so Vivek is this idea of being able to differentiate between those, that truth and non-truth. And then Vairagya is translates something like non-attachment. So we're aiming to be able to move through life. And in the Bhagavad Gita, there's one sentence or one aspect in which Krishna speaks about how we need to move through life in such a way that we can be in the fire, but we're not burnt by the fire. We can be in the rain, but we don't get wet by the rain. We can be in the wind, but we're not blown around by the wind. I'm sure I'm not giving that exactly as it shows up in the Bhagavad Gita, but the essence is that we're not affected by life, And, you know, because that's the challenge. It's when the things happen, which they do happen, you know, we have difficulties in life. We have people that we love who we no longer connect with, or maybe they pass away from the body, or sickness can arise. Changes in the world, which we've all experienced so much in these last couple of years, can happen. And so if we're constantly blown around by these things, if we're constantly, you know, kind of triggered into a rage by these things, or feel dampened down like the, you know, rain has got us into a blue mind space, it's, you know, we are being influenced by all those external environments. So our aim is to really be able to keep the presence and not be blown around, not be you know, kind of in the fire. And this also relates very much to Muladhara and Swadhisthana, because that's where we have fears, that's where the desires, the unconscious roots of our experience are pushing and pulling us, and you know, giving us a way in which we perceive the world, which is not even the truth. So as we can notice that or understand what is my driving forces, you know, where is it that I get attached? Do I push something away? Do I grasp at it? And a lot of the roots of that are in Muladhara and Swadhisthana. If we can keep the right perspective and really develop this Viveka and Vairagya qualities, then it gives us a freedom in ourselves. So it doesn't mean we don't eat or we don't, you know, have desire or these things, but we're not pulled around by them as much. So, okay, I got attached to something, but can I let it go? Yeah. You know, okay. A fear arose, you know, of course, like when all this world changes happened, I think all of us had some moments of fear, you know, it was like a lot of information coming at us, fear driven. So, okay, yes, I felt the fear, but am I going to stay stuck in that, or am I going to move beyond that?
Good. So, do you want to go a bit more in detail on Muladhara Chakra? Some key words only related to that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, gosh, there's so much to say in this short this short time. I'm just giving you a little seed, but hopefully that's inspiring to look deeper into it. So Mula translates as root or foundation, and Adhara is that base or, you know, place of kind of being rooted, being connected, grounded. And so the earth element is related to Muladhara, and this is pertinent because it both, when we get stuck too much, when we get too sticky and stuck in things, that earth element's out of balance. And also the other side of that, if we're not grounded, yeah, if we're not feeling that sense of a foundation within ourselves, then we also are out of balance. So Muladhara really is about finding that inner foundation, about becoming grounded in ourselves. So the earth elements represented there by yellow square as far as the actual kind of chakra image or yantra related to the chakra. And it's also the place where the three nadis are emanating from. So we have the Ida, the Pingala, and the Shushumna, which are the three flows, the three core flows of energy. And I believe I spoke about the nadis in brief last time, where we spoke about how there's lines of energy that move through the whole body. Mm. And so our whole body is energized, but there's three, you could say, high voltage wires, and those are Ida, Pingala, and Shushumna. Ida representing the mental energy, Pingala representing the physical energy, and Shushumna representing the spiritual energy. And when Ida and Pingala are balanced, then the third, the Shushumna, the spiritual, the understanding, the awakening occurs. And so what a lot of actually Muladhara is a very important chakra, because these three emanate from there, and they again meet at Agya. And so Agya and Muladhara are actually intimately connected. And so we've got the, you know, three nadis emerging, which are highly volatile, but when they're balanced, that's when the awakening really occurs. It's also the place where it said that the Kundalini, so the energy within our own system that enlivens and allows us to come, go beyond our, how do you say that, like mundane experience and all the different aspects of our, you know, our creativity, the qualities that are connected to each chakra, our creativity, our compassion, our ability to be our power and within ourselves, our wisdom, all of can be, you can say, awakened. And the Kundalini is the energy that we speak about that gives us those qualities of when it arises. This is going a bit too deep probably for this short session, but when it arises, that full understanding occurs. And it's said that the Kundalini, that energy within us, is resting in Muladhara. So Muladhara is actually a very important center because of that connection to the Kundalini. Represents the reptilian brain. So we spoke a bit about that a little bit. The Muladhara and Swadhisthana are representing these unconscious aspects of experience. And from a more physical point of view, you could think of different aspects of, you know, the health of the Muladhara and Swadhisthana. Both, it's like the our sexual organs, our elimination organs are all connected into Muladhara Swadhisthana. And so when we're operating well in those areas and we have a balanced flow, then we're going to have healthier organs, healthier elimination, a good connection to these parts of ourselves. Whereas when there's block or there's work to do there, then it may be showing up as an imbalance or some type of, excessive or blocked sexual energy, or the organs in that area might not be operating as optimally as they could be. And there's so much to tell you. I don't actually know where to focus.
I have a question relating to something you said, which I think is so important related to this chakra, and that's making this in how to ground yourself very practical. If you have any specific techniques or tips on how to do that.
I feel like actually one of the most basic ways we can work with ourselves or ground ourselves is even just walking with our feet on the earth, like bare feet on the earth, and connect to that element. The yogic path of Muladhara particularly is Hatha yoga. So I think if we're doing the Hatha yoga practices with presence, and I suppose approaching them from there's so many practices, and I think sometimes people skip the foundation practices and want the experience. So I'm talking about foundation practices, actually doing the simple practices and even feeling your sitting with your buttocks on the earth. Mula Bandha is a really good practice, the contraction of the Muladhara area, which needs to be guided by, experienced teachers, and not just anybody should do it. And the associated foods with Muladhara is proteins. So I suppose if people are very ungrounded, sometimes heavier foods like proteins can be helpful to ground. I think the other side is that sometimes people are too much in that and too stuck and too grounded maybe in an imbalanced way. So grounded is the wrong word, maybe stuck, stuck and sticky. And so this is where then we want to activate that area also with something like Mula Bandha or doing some of the Hatha yoga practices. And really, I think the main thing is working on, again, noticing when we go into the fears, noticing when we go into our insecurities. Because really a balanced Muladhara means that there's inner security, that we understand that there's support beneath us, that the universe is supporting us. So it's not about only our human endeavors, but we're part of a whole and we are supported. I guess, that comes with time and experience. I know for myself, it's been a constant work to get to that point, and it comes and goes. So, but Yeah, trusting. Yeah. I think trust is a really key thing in Muladhara as well.
I so agree. And I think that because we live in a stressful society, and when we're stressed, we're usually not all that grounded.
No.
It's harder to apply that, even if you know it and you're aware of it, then the stress kind of pulls out the rug under your feet.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as you said that, what came to mind is like yoga nidra, both for Muladhara and Swadhisthana, actually for all three of those chakras we're talking about, can be really helpful, because that is going to balance your nervous system. And as you just so beautifully put, when that's balanced, then we're going to have a different perspective. When we're stressed, then we are being driven by those lower unconscious patterns, because that's what takes over. The minute we go into a stress state, the unconscious layers are what drive us, because it's all about survival. Stress is that. Whether it's coming from outside or inside, stress in our body is indicating that we're running from a lion. And so when we do a practice like yoga nidra, or even just, you know, you asked about grounding, like abdominal breathing, that's so grounding. And that has an influence on the vagus nerve, which supports us to come into relaxation response. And the minute we're in that relaxation response, we're going to have a different perspective. So we're going to see the snake for what it is. Ah, it's only a piece of wood. It's not a snake. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yoga nidra, relaxing practices, probably restorative yoga, all of those are very grounding and bringing us into that balanced nervous system state, which is highly important. Mm.
Great. So if we continue a bit with Swadhisthana chakra, and I know you usually go much more into detail if you do a retreat or a course, so this is like the highway through the chakras, but yeah, if you wanted to share a few things.
Just the little taster.
Yes.
Yeah, so Swadhisthana, I love the meaning of the word Swadhisthana, actually. So swa means one's own. And Swadhisthana is like the dwelling place or abode or residence. So it's about being in one's own abode, one's own home. And so it's about being at home inside of ourselves. And it's perfect, because we spoke about pleasure and we spoke about desire and how we're constantly reaching outside of ourselves. And our society is encouraging that through all the advertising and the, you know, different inputs that we get through our fast-paced society, that we don't feel at home inside of ourselves, that we think that pleasure or success or feeling good comes from outside of us. And actually, it's about being at home inside of ourselves. So I love that translation. And it's at the coccyx, as I already said, the base of the spinal column, and really connected to our reproductive and urinary system. So anything to do with like the kidneys, bladder, female reproductive organs, diabetes, urinary problems, all of this is connected to Swadhisthana balance or imbalance. So if those are issues that are showing up, it indicates an imbalance at that level. Element is water element. And and that's symbolized by, so I said the yellow square for Muladhara, and the water element symbolized by a silver white crescent moon. And I think the other main thing really to kind of understand about Swadhisthana, which I really alluded to already, but it's considered the storehouse of the samskaras. And so that's all the karma, the unconscious life. So all the different kind of experiences we've had throughout life are all stored in the unconscious mind. And as I already expressed, that's what's driving our experience, our view, the glasses that we see the world through. So Swadhisthana represents that, and the water elements, like you can imagine the ocean. If you were just peering out at the ocean, you'd see on the top of the ocean, or maybe some waves and some movement that you might see on the top of the ocean, but you don't know what's underneath it. You don't know what's, you know, where the rip tides are, or where the, you know, how the water's pulling you, or what type of animals or fish or corals, nice ones and not so nice ones, are underneath. And that's a lot like the samskaras, because also samskaras can be positive. That patterning can also be positive. It can help us to be compassionate, or to serve, love, give, or to, you know, be, you know, to express kind qualities. So samskaras aren't always negative. It's just that the negative ones are the ones that pull us back down. So those are the ones we often talk about. But Swadhisthana is very much related to that idea of the unconscious realm and all the different layers of experience that are being held there. And it's quite hard work to move through that. I think for many of us, this is a lifetime's process. I think that's probably enough of a little seed about Swadhisthana. And again, those same qualities of Vivek and Vairagya, so that ability to differentiate between truth and non-truth, and the non-attachment, developing that non-attachment so we can experience the pleasures, but we're not attached to it. We can use, you know, if something comes to us, like a beautiful car, then yes, utilize it, but don't be attached to it. Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you say that the practice of yoga nidra can help remove some of these samskaras, some of these unconscious patterns? And
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think yoga nidra is one of the most powerful, and it's just so accessible. So easy to do. I mean, you know, whatever type of body you're in, or whatever challenges we might have, it's a practice that the majority of people can do. And you generally do it in a laying down position, but of course you could choose other positions if that was necessary. And because it allows us to go into the alpha and theta brainwave states. So if I come back, I mentioned Bruce Lipton, and what he was speaking about last night is that when up till about the age of 7, the child's brain is mostly in theta brainwaves. So at that level, we're just like a recorder. And whatever is modeled to us, whatever we experience in our world through our parents, our teachers, our society, our culture, we're just downloading it. So we're downloading a program from the moment, from the time we're in the womb, like the third trimester, particularly, and then through till about the age of 7, that theta brainwave state is dominant. And so we're downloading the program, downloading, downloading, downloading. And the challenge we have is, as adults, we can't get back to that state just by thinking our way. The conscious mind can't think its way into that state so easily. So yoga nidra is so amazing because it allows us to drop into those states of alpha. And when we do longer yoga nidras and we work with the practice on a regular basis, also theta brainwave state, and that's where that material is stored. That's where we can start to change the program. And so yoga nidra, I'd say, is one of the most powerful practices pretty much for every chakra, but particularly for Swadhisthana Muladhara. Very, very powerful and very transformative. And again, it brings the nervous system into balance. And who doesn't need that in this day and age?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. Bruce Lipton, so it's something to check
Bruce
out.
Bruce Lipton, yeah, very, yeah. Very interesting scientist. I think it's epigenetics. I'm not going to say that because I'm not 100% sure, but look him up. I really like some of his talks. They're quite very good, and they give the scientific explanation for a lot of what we do in our meditation and yoga practices, and why it's important.
Cool. Okay, well, I think we're getting close to the end of this talk. Do you have any last suggestions on how to apply what we've talked about today in daily life? I know we've touched upon this several times throughout, but or anything last you want to share?
Well, I think just the two things I think are the most important with what we're all facing and have been facing over this last time period, and continue in different ways to perhaps have to doing whatever we can to bring the nervous system into balance. And we already spoke about why that's important in relation to the chakras. And so that's your restorative practices, your yoga nidra, abdominal breathing, anything that brings the nervous system into harmony. Very, very helpful and powerful. And again, keep working with the witnessing awareness, because that's what gives us perspective. So I feel like those are the takeaway messages. Keep on giving yourself space and gap and honoring the pauses in life, and keep on generating witnessing awareness, and be patient with ourselves, because it's a lifetime process. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a very good takeaway message, especially this last one. I sometimes advise both my students and also myself to put on a physical smile when you notice that here we go again, to just not be so serious, or, you know, give yourself a hard time for screwing it up again, you know.
Yeah, well, it is, and actually that's what Bruce Lipton's book was called. It's The Biology of Emotions. You just reminded me when you said that about putting on the smile, because we influence our experience. Like what we create, we are the creators of that. So by, you know, putting on a smile, even when we don't always feel it in that moment, it actually changes the chemicals, it changes our emotional state. And then when we've got a changed emotional state, we're going to have a different perception of life. And it doesn't mean that we also don't, you know, of course, we need to also acknowledge the difficulties, but not stay stuck there. You know, so to keep moving, keep moving forward and expanding that consciousness.
Great. Well, thank you so much for our talk. As usual, very inspiring.
So wonderful to finally get the chance to be with you again, Sridharana. We've been trying for ages. So beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, but we already have an appointment for next week for another talk.
We do.
I mean, now we're back. We're back on.
Yeah, we're on a rhythm.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, and I look forward to hopefully seeing all of you soon. Sometime soon I hope to be back with you.
We'll be planning something.
Yes.
Looking forward to that myself.
Amazing.
Okay. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Hariom.
Hariom.
Thanks for listening. I'll put the links for our web pages, Anahata Yoga in Norway and in New Zealand, in the show notes. And you are welcome to book private sessions with either of us. Also, we are planning a retreat in Norway. More details will come when it's ready. But if you want to be the first to know, you can keep listening to this podcast, or you can sign up for our newsletters, which you also do on web pages, which are in the show notes. So welcome back next time. We will then be going more into detail on Manipur Chakra, Anahat Chakra, and Vishuddhi Chakra. Wish you a wonderful day. Bye.